1 Corinthians chapter 9, would you please stand as I read the Word of God, an honor to God and His Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 19, I'll read through to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Under the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. For this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time here. Thank you for each one that's here. Open our hearts and our minds to thy word. And Holy Spirit, speak through me and through your word here. Teach us and train us, encourage us and help us, Lord. We thank you for your great love for us. As it says in Ephesians 2:4, because of your great mercy, you show great love to us. Thank you and do a work in hearts and minds, we pray. And use me in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I feel a little bit trepid about giving this message tonight, as I'm going to say some things that we don't hear from pulpits too much anymore, but it's going to be from the Bible, amen, from the Word of God. And so as I said, you know, I came here about 6 years ago. I pastored for 47 years. They always announce 50 up here, and that's all right if they want to add a couple. But I pastored 47 years here and there, and I had to learn most things the hard way because I didn't come from a fundamental independent Baptist church. I came from a church that was called Northern Convention at that time. That's where it came out of. But God has blessed me and trained me and given me a lot of help. And so I want to preach on verse down there in verse 22, that I might by all means save some, that I by all means might save one. I might save one. You are an I. You can save someone. You might save someone. It's possible that you can get people saved. Amen. Amen. Don't ever think that you can't do it. Amen. Amen. And so it says that I might save some. Notice this now. I'm going to look down through it again. It says here, under the Jews, verse 20, under the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. That word gain there is translated from the Greek, means to win. Paul said, I want to win the Jews. Romans chapter 10, you'll see that he was willing to be accursed to win his own nationality, his own people. So it says there that Paul wanted to gain some Jews. He wanted to win some Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Paul was after the Gentiles. He said, I want to win some of them, gain them. I want to win them, amen. Amen. Thank God here that the Bible teaches we can win someone, amen. Amen. I might save some, amen. Okay. We can do that, amen. Notice that it says there now in verse 21, to them that are without law as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. Paul said that I might win them that are under the law. And he says, I'm under the law, and I'm trying to get them under the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And so it says there that I might win them. I can gain. And then we read verse 21, 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Might gain the weak. Every week I pick up a fellow here by the name of Joseph Chavis, and he sits right beside me. Now, Joseph Chavis, I met him when I first came here. He was studying with the Jehovah's Witnesses. I led him to the Lord at his door. And he came to church with me. Later he got baptized, and he's here every Sunday. And I used to wonder if Joseph ever understood exactly what happened. It is the fact that Joseph is just a little slow, just a little slow. But he surprised me a lot of times, because I wrote in the flyleaf of his Bible the day I led him to the Lord, the date's there. And every once he reminds me the day he got saved. And then he comes to me, or he asks me for advice, because I led him to the Lord. I watched him get baptized here, amen? And so I thank God that I've had the privilege of bringing someone to church and watch them get saved and baptized. Amen?
Amen.
I'd like to introduce you to Carl tonight. About 3 months ago, 2 months ago, Brother Reyes sent me an email and said, would you like to preach on the 25th of September? And I said, yes, if you want me to, I'm willing to preach. Amen? And so I've had all that time to think and prepare and get ready and pray. But I started praying, dear Lord, give me someone I can win to you, and I can get down the aisle, and I can see get baptized. The 27th, the last Friday, Saturday night of September, I ordered a pizza. This young fellow, Carl, come driving up. I have a little sign on my gate that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Carl came in, he was full of all kinds of questions when he saw that sign. And so I said, Carl, if you died, would you go to heaven? He said, I think so, I'm not sure. I took Carl through the gospel plan and in the book of Romans and led him to Jesus Christ. Amen. And he got saved. Now last week I got to see him get baptized down there in Las Lunas. So, and by the way, he walked down the aisle with me. Now I asked him that night, I don't have just three questions in salvation when I'm presenting the gospel plan. I have at least six questions, amen. And if I can get through all of them, sometimes I can convince them by the grace of God and by the word of God to come to church, amen. And so I took him through the first three, all have sinned, and number of the wages of sin is death, and Christ died on the cross for our sins, Romans 10 and Romans 5, 8, but God commanded the story. And then I showed him how to ask Jesus if he wanted to save him, and he said yes, and let him be Christ, and he asked Christ to say, let him ask him to save him. But then I said, there's one thing that I said, did you get saved? He said, yes. I said, who saved you? Was it Jesus or me or yourself? And he said, Jesus. That's one of my six questions, amen. Did you get saved, amen? I mean, you just led them to Christ. Ask them if they got saved, amen? And he said, yes. And so then I said, what did you get saved from? What did you get saved from? Listen, I got saved from hell and not I got saved. Preacher preached a revival service and preached on hell for about 40 minutes and I got saved, amen? I got saved from hell. Now, there was a new awareness of God the next morning. The sky was bluer and the trees were greener, and a new awareness of God. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit indwelling me. Amen. Indwelling me. And that's what happens if you get truly saved. And you're born again and you have a conversion. You have a change. Amen. That's what a conversion is, man. I had a change. Amen. And so I got saved and born again. And then I asked him, you know, if he could come to church with me the next day. I was going to bring him up here on Sunday morning. I laid him to the Lord on Saturday night. And he told me he had to work all day Sunday. Had to work late that day, all day and late that night, didn't you? And so I said, well, you know, what you need to do is you need to confess Jesus as your Savior. Who knows you're saved, I said. Well, he said, me. And I finally convinced him that I knew he was saved. I finally convinced him, my wife was sitting there, that she knew he was saved. I said, who else knows you're saved? And he tried to figure that one out, didn't you, Carl? But I told him, nobody really knows you're saved but you and the Lord and the angels in heaven jump up and down and rejoice, amen, when somebody gets saved, the Bible says. I said, I want you to make public confession. He said, what's that? I took him to Romans 10:32, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. I said, you need to make public confession. Jesus died out on a cross publicly for you and for me and for my sins. And Jesus won people publicly. He led Matthew to the Lord when he was doing his business of taking taxes or doing the tax record. You can lead people to the Lord publicly. And so I asked him if he would come to church with me, and he came with me on the next Wednesday down there, and I walked down the aisle with him. He walked down the aisle with me, and he prayed and made public confession. Thank God. I've heard two or three preachers here say recently that you can get fruit that will remain. You can get fruit that will remain. So I've already had a Bible lesson with him. I'm going to have some more with him. And he was going to come soul with me today, but something happened and he didn't make it. But I'm saying, and then I asked Brother Wooten if he would ask him if he would be baptized, and he told me he'd been baptized, and I showed him what the Bible says about baptism. And he decided to get baptized like Jesus would do, identifying with Jesus, amen. Well, I want to say, listen, the soul winning works. I want to say you can win someone. You can have the power of God to do it, amen. You can do it. I'm saying, listen, notice verse 19, it says there, though I be free from all men. Listen, I believe there was some other meaning there, but I'm free from all men. I'm free from all men. I don't have to witness to anybody if I don't want to. God gives me freedom to witness. God gives me freedom to go soul winning. God gives me freedom to witness to people. But he did more than that for me, and I'll tell you about it in a little bit. I'll tell you about it in a little bit, amen? But God, I'm free from all men. But notice what he said. I've made myself servant unto all men. That word servant means enslaved, under bondage. It means subservient. Listen, I'm a slave to Jesus. When I got saved, I start surrendering to him as a slave, enslaved by him. I'm subservient to him. I'm under bondage to Jesus, amen. I owe him something. I owe him something. The Bible says we owe him. We have a debt and we owe him something. I owe him my life because he gave his life for me. And so I took Philippians 1:21. I think it is. I can do all things. No, that's for Philippians 1:21, for me to die and to live for Christ is gain, amen. And I gave my life to Jesus to surrender to him. So I'm saying, listen, I'm a slave of Jesus. You know, notice this. I read that verse 19. It says, I made myself servant unto all. And he says down in verse 22, I made all things to all men. Let me ask you a question, if I may. All men. Paul had an unselfish abandonment in living and making all men, bringing all men to him. He said, Paul said, the selfish abandonment in living that makes all men secondary to winning souls. I'm saying that, listen, the reason why I live is to reach another soul. The reason why you're alive is to reach a soul or to reach another soul. You're alive for that, amen? Amen. Just think each one sitting here. I believe you're saved here. I believe that's why you're here. But if you're saved, you can win someone to Jesus Christ. You can tell them how to be saved. You can tell them how to be saved. To what length have you gone to save men? Paul said he was willing to appear a fool. I can show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he was a fool. Though one of the learned Jews, he said, I'm a fool for Christ. Have you been called a fool? I read about the man who got a placard that he had some over the shoulder. On the back, he said, whose fool are you? On the back, he said, I'm a fool for Christ, as he went down the street. And you know, I'm just saying, listen, how far have you gone in trying to win a soul? What have you done? Paul was despised. He was reviled. He was abused. He was persecuted. He was put in prison. He was shunned. He was misunderstood. Yet he went door to door to clear the blood from his hands, their blood. Paul was a soul winner, amen. And we ought to be soul winners, amen. We ought to be soul winners. I went with a little Mario yesterday, soul winning, and we led a lady of the Lord, didn't we? I think she's about 20 years old. Her name was, what was her name? Samantha Torres. And we led her to the Lord. And I got her phone number and her address, and I'm going to try to go back and see her. But I'm saying you can win someone to Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is an example of all who win men. To save men, he became a man, born in poverty, came to seek and save. Yes, the sinless Son of God was a friend of sinners, eating with them, going to their homes, loving them, forgiving them, and leading them and winning them to himself and saving their soul and saving their life and changing them, amen, changing them. Okay. One thing I think that's lacking in Christianity a lot today is we have no evidence of a person being changed, of being different, having a compassion and a compelling desire to do something for Jesus. I'm saying I got saved on a Tuesday night. Preacher came and see me before the weekend and said, would you come to Sunday school and church on Sunday morning? And I said, well, you know, I'm already doubting I'm saved, and I've said some things and thought some things that I shouldn't have thought. He said, just get down on your knees tonight beside the bed and confess them to Jesus and come to church Sunday. I went to church the first Sunday after I was saved for Sunday school and for church, and then I decided to come back Sunday night, the greatest decision I ever made. But I'm saying, listen, you can win. You can win. He said, that I might win. I might win them. Listen, I wasn't saved till I was 22 years old, and I've had some losses and I've had some wins. When I was in high school, I was a sophomore in high school, and I came down a hallway to the study hall, and a guy stopped me and said, you were flirting with my girl. And I said, about that time he socked me right in the face. I mean, bloody nose profusely. I got up off the floor and I said, I'll kill you. Now remember, I wasn't saved. I said, I'll kill you. Now, coach grabbed us. We had a big old coach, Mr. Dirk, 6'2" or something, and a big old coach, and he took us down to the dressing room for a sports activity and said, there's some boxing gloves in there. If you guys want to have it out, well, I'll let you have it out right here. Now, we never did have a fight for some reason. It didn't end that way. But you know what? About 3 years after I got out of high school, I got up one day and read the local paper. Mr. So-and-so shoots himself, kills himself. That same boy that hit me in the face took a 30-30 and fired it right here and killed himself instantly. And I knew that boy very well. I used to herd cattle with him when I was a boy in Wyoming. I used to go to his farm, a little ranch just about 5 miles from me, and do things with him, try to buck hay and stuff like that. And he, at an age of about 22, killed himself. I thought, and you know what? It was over a girl. Now, he socked me in the face over a girl. And I lost that one terribly, amen. But you know, about a year, I was a sophomore then, and the junior year, guess what? One of my buddies come up to me one day and said, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to work you over. Now, I never had no experience at fighting, and I don't recommend that you fight. In fact, my dad told me there's always a stronger man. Don't go out there picking a fight or trying to show off. And one of my buddies, he's married to my sister today. Can you imagine? Came and said, I'm going to whip you. I said, okay. But I had a little experience. I saw that fist come in. This time I ducked. And I hit him right in the middle of the face, and his began to bleed. It's run down his shirt, and I whipped him, amen. I've had some losses, but I've had some wins, amen. The next guy that wanted to fight me outran him. I gave up on fighting right then, amen. But I'm saying, listen, thank God in high school, I played 6 years of basketball, 2 in junior high and 4 in high school. And by the time I was a sophomore in high school, I was traveling with the 10 that got to travel in out of town games. And I got subbed in once in a while. And when I was a junior, I played basketball and I won a plaque. I got it on the wall down there of the most free shots made of anybody on the team that year. I mean, and then my senior year, I got to be on the first 5, and I was high point man one time, 22 points. And I was high point man, amen. And listen, you can win. You can win if you work at it. You can work at it. Win. I'm saying, listen, when God saved us by grace, where's that clock up there? When God saved us by grace, he gave us a desire to see others saved and win them. He did that. He did that to me. My mother got saved in 1958, prayed for me and told me I need to be saved, and told me I need to be saved from hell. In 1960, I got saved. 1962, my mom and I doubled upon my dad and prayed for him, wrote him letters. I wrote him letters, and I was 200 miles away from him. I'm living with him, married. And I wrote my dad and I said, my dad always said, if I go to the church, the roof would fall in. And I wrote him letters, and I said, Dad, you better go to church or you're going to be carried in by 6 men. You won't have to worry about the roof falling in. And he got saved, amen. I got to go to his baptism, amen. I'm saying, listen, you can lead people to Christ. Have a concern. Have a desire to reap. Go carrying. Bible says if we go weeping, we shall doubtless return with our sheaves. I'm saying, listen, we need to go and win souls. One thing I want to say in Proverbs 11:30, I'll quote it. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. This word winneth in Proverbs 11:30 means to take them, to win them, to take them. That's what it means. Winneth, to take them, to win them. And the verse in there, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life is wise. The wise there, the word means to be intelligent, to be skillful, to be artful, to be wise in mind and word or action. If you'll practice that soul winning, if you'll work at it, you'll get skillful. You'll get artful. You'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it. One thing you need to know for sure, if you're going to win souls to Christ, that you're saved yourself. You need to be saved and know it yourself to win souls. I know I'm saved. I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve it, but God saved me. Albert Einstein was called a slow learner and wrote office uneducatable. Yet he met with Franklin Roosevelt, and together they planned and developed the atomic bomb. Once when Albert was traveling from one city by train to in America to another, he was approached by the conductor and asked for his ticket. Reaching in his vest pocket, he couldn't find his ticket. He reached in his pants pockets, and he couldn't locate his ticket. The conductor said, "Now I know you, and I'm not worried. I know you bought a ticket. I know you." And he said, "You're okay." And so the conductor went on down the aisle in the train. As he turned around and looked back, Albert Einstein was on his knees down on the floor under the seat. So the conductor went back and said, "Mr. Einstein, I know you. Don't worry about whether you can find your ticket or not." He said, "I got to find that ticket because I know who I am. I just don't know where I'm going." And you got to know you're saved to go to witness people. Amen. You got to be 100% sure that you're saved. So I'm saying this is so important. Many people have inspired me. Today is the death of Dr. House, or the birthday of Dr. House, September the 25th, he was born. He'd be 90 years old today if he was alive. Now, Dr. House came to the church in Casperham where I was saved. It was the preacher took it out of the Northern Southern Baptist movement, and it became so-called a Mountain Baptist Convention Church. Some of the preachers were coming out of the Northern Convention. You know where the Northern Convention came from? The Southern Convention? They came in the Civil War. Over the Civil War, Baptists split up and they become Northern Baptists and Southern Baptists over the Civil War. But I'm saying Dr. House came to Casper, Wyoming, and he preached marching, carrying the ark over here, and he shouted and spit and slobbered and stomped all around, preached over here like this, and said, "You can be a soul winner. You can win people to Christ. You got to pray, get the power of God. You got to fast and mean business, and you'll win a soul." And I got his little book on Let's Go Soul Winning, and I memorized the approach. This is so important that you have an approach, a good approach, amen? A good approach. So I got the book and I read it. And he said, "Go home and pray and fast." Now, I was witnessing to people. In fact, I was working with about 12 guys on a shift. And all those guys, after I got saved, I quoted verses like, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He will not hold you guiltless," and the Ten Commandments. And I would try to stop their cursing. And I'd tell them, Job 15:7 says, "Thy own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Thy lips testify against thee." Boy, they got mad at me. But guess what? I witnessed about them 10 or 12 guys, and I didn't have a result. All of a sudden, a new worker came in. Dill Padilla came in. And I met him in the incinerator room one day. It was a place where we burned all of our boxes and our cardboard. It had a big sliding door. It would go like this and open up, and there was a furnace in behind it, a burning area. And well, I met him in there one day, and he was new on the job. And I said, "Dill, if you died, would you go to heaven?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Would you like to know?" He said, "Yes." He surprised me. "Yes, he wanted to know." I said, "Well, can I come to your house and meet you?" But you know what I did? I fasted and prayed, like Dr. Howell said. I fasted and prayed. I went there. I let him and his wife and his brother and three little children came to church the next Sunday and walked the aisle. Walked the aisle. So I'm going to have to wind down here. So I want to tell you, you know, did you hear about the preacher who got up and said, "I'm going to preach on Jesus walked on water today. Tonight I'm going to preach on searching for Jesus." But I want to say this now, and I say this with some trepidation, but I want to say this and be careful about it, and there's so much more here that I would like to say. But I want to say this. Let me find the right notes here. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to explain to you what that is from the Bible. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3:11. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit for winning souls. For winning souls. Matthew chapter 3. I want you to see if this is Bible. A lot of times when I talk to Christians about this, they tell me, "Well, it depends on how much you've given yourself to the Holy Spirit." Well, I believe that's true, but I believe there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to show you this, and you may not agree with it, and that's okay, but I want you to know that I heard this preached by a preacher. I read a book about it, and I believe in it. Matthew chapter 3 and 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I was baptized in water after I got saved. One day God baptized me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We don't hear that preached today. In the 60s and the 70s, we used to hear preaching on the Holy Spirit and preaching on the power of God and preaching on the baptism. I heard them. I heard Dr. Howes. I heard Dr. Rice. I heard Tom Malone. I heard some of those preachers that were building churches and people were getting saved. And I ministered with a Page up here for 6.5 years as an associate, Bella Vista Baptist Church. Page started that church. Page fasted every Friday. He used to ask me to fast with him. And we had people saved there every Sunday. We had people baptized every Sunday. We went when I went there, 225 to 1,009 on a Sunday morning service. One Sunday we went to Milley Stadium and had an open air service and had a family by it, the Tweedy family. They were a black family and they came in and sung. We had 1,009 that Sunday and people got saved and got born again every Sunday. We had people saved and born again. Our brother Page believed in fasting and praying and having the power of God. His verse in his office was, "Nothing is impossible with God," up there in big print. And there I became more acquainted with the idea that I could be filled with the Holy Spirit. I could be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Now I'll turn to Acts. Acts chapter 1. I'm winding down now trying to. You're not going anyplace, are you? Acts chapter 1, let me show you this. Verse 5. Acts 1, verse 5. Let's pay the Bible here. Okay, Acts chapter 1 here. Verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now the word baptism here means a subduing, a controlling, a surrounding, a coming upon you. Now we don't preach that today. We don't teach that today. Most churches need to hear that. They need to hear that. Amen. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the first time I won Dill, I was telling you about, and I worked with him. I got in a car with a deacon on a Thursday night. We were going to go visit him. I had his address. And as we prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit, it seemed like a canopy or an umbrella came down over our car. And I was kind of like the Apostle Paul. I didn't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. You don't hear that preached. Because many people never experience it. But boy, they were all ready to be saved when we got there. Amen. I'm going to tell you about two other experiences. When I went to Bible college, I worked in a church in Lafayette, Colorado with the teens for a while until we got burned out. We had a fire there and it burned us out. We were in our second year of college. And those teenagers, about 8 or 10 of them in a class every Sunday morning, we would go upstairs into a long table and they would sit around the table and they would pass gum under the table and they would talk and cut up. There was one guy that particularly there that was the leader and he messed around with me when I was teaching. And one Sunday I told him, "You get out of this class. I'm not going to have you in here corrupting this class and stirring it up all the time." Now he was the star football player in Lafayette, Colorado. But guess what? He went home and talked to his parents. His parents came to me and I told him what was going on. That boy came to that class after that and would sit and was quiet and didn't pass the gum and hadn't cut the class all up. And so one night the preacher there would let me preach every Sunday, last Sunday of the month. He would let me preach in the evening. And one Sunday evening, those teens all came in. I told them to sit right up here in front. Then I'm going to preach at you tonight. And those teenagers came in and I preached at them. I snorted and I jumped and I hollered. And listen, I want you to know the Holy Spirit fell all of a sudden. You could have heard a pin drop. And all those teenagers came down to the aisle and got right with God. And when we left there, they bought me a plaque. I still have it hanging in the kitchen, my home, about God shall supply all your needs. And those teenagers got touched by God. Those teenagers got changed, amen. And the Holy Spirit fell, amen. The power of God fell. Now, we don't hear a lot about this, and some of you are probably not even familiar with this. Never had no teaching on it. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I said, when I got saved, the next day I had a new awareness of God. I knew something had happened. The trees were greener and the sky was bluer. I had a new awareness of God. And that was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I believe the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I believe the coming upon of the Holy Spirit. Carl, would you stand up? Tell them what happened about 2 weeks ago. Amen. That night, you may be seated, that night the Spirit of God fell. The Spirit of God came upon us as we were standing there talking. I could sense there was something different. He just said there was something different that happened that night. And then I got to walk him down the aisle and see him get baptized, and I'm trying to discipleize him. Now he's in another church, and I'm going to try to help him just to disciple. I told him to go soul winning with me, and he told me he'd go someday. But I'm saying there's the power of the Holy Spirit. There's the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, I ain't got time to preach the rest of this. I don't want to take too much more of your time. I want you to be out fairly decent on time. But I want you to know, listen, fight on, fight on. One night in November 1944, an American Sherman tank was knocked out while guarding a crossroad in Europe. The crewmates were all dead except one survived and was in the tank. Single-handed, he loaded and aimed and fired the damaged tank, the 76 military gun at the advancing German infantry. When those shells were gone, he emptied the tank's 30 caliber machine gun at the enemy. Then he popped the turret and laid a stream of 50 caliber fire on the confused Germans. With ammunition expended and the young tanker let loose with a Tommy submachine gun that he had, that emptied, he fought the enemy until his pistol ammunition was used up. Then he dropped back into the tank, buttoned up, and waited for the dawn. But he still had a box of grenades. As the Germans' infantry swarmed around his tank, he began to pop open and throw out the grenades. He got a medal. His name was Audie Murphy. He got a medal. Listen, don't quit. Don't give up. I'm had a birthday this week, and I'm 87 now. Thank God I made it that far. And I'm aged, but I'm still engaged.
Amen.
I'm engaged with the enemy. Amen. How do you win a soul? Pray an hour every day. Pray half an hour for the Holy Spirit like I try to do. And then ask God to lead you to souls. Ask him to anoint you and empower you and help you to win a soul. Thank God. Brother Frank, you want to come up here? We're going to dismiss. I think they let you out at 6:30, don't they? I could preach another while. I used to preach an hour years ago, but I got over that. And I found out you lose them after about 30 minutes. But anyway, I want to say that if there's anybody here who would like to ask God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. By the way, that word, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It means be being filled. I've had many feelings, but I've all had some anointing. Jesus was anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit.